Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Last week, we began to look at forgiveness in a whole new light, the way God intended it, the way God offers it to us. In Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." First thing I want us to consider this morning is how Jesus offers complete forgiveness to us. We all know hurt, and we all know how deep it can go. As a pastor, I've counseled those with some of the most unimaginable scars. But we also serve a Lord who's no stranger to hurt and pain either. Jesus endured unspeakable hurt by the very ones he loved dearly and by the very ones that he came to save. Forgiveness can seem impossible at times, but we need to remember Jesus' response. In Luke 23, Jesus said, as he hung on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And I want you to pay very close attention here, because Jesus didn't just say, "I forgive you." He asked the Father to forgive them. This showed that not only did he release them from their guilt and forgave them, but that he also asked the Father not to punish them. Father, forgive them. Second thing I want us to consider is we must offer complete forgiveness. Jesus offers complete forgiveness to us, and we must offer complete forgiveness to others. We've all forgiven people, no doubt. But how do we know that we have completely forgiven them? Well, the proof of complete forgiveness is this. It's when we sincerely call upon the Lord to let those who have hurt us completely off the hook. We ask God to vindicate them 100%, to set them free as if they had done nothing wrong in the first place. That's a lot to ask, isn't it? And I know some of you are saying, "Well, how is it possible? How can I do that?" Well, first thing you have to do is put yourself in their shoes. And then you have to think upon how many sins of yours has the Lord forgiven and vindicated you. But wait, there's more. Kind of like those infomercials we see. Not only are we to ask God to forgive them, but we are also to ask God to bless and prosper them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies." Listen to this. "Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." We are to apply the golden rule in our prayer for them. Matthew 7:12. Listen to what Jesus said. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." That's the golden rule. We are to pray that God will deal with them the same way we want God to deal with us and with our sins. Now, I know the world's version of the golden rule is a little different. They say, whatever you don't want men to do to you, don't do unto others. But Jesus goes the other way. Jesus is all about action. Jesus is all about doing for others. And he said, whatever you want men to do to you, you do to them. And we are to pray that God will deal with them in the same way he deals with us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we deserved it, not because we were so great, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. So the next point I want us to think about is, why do we forgive? Why is it that we want to forgive? Why is it that we forgive? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, he said, "Judge not that you are not judged." Listen, God and God alone is judge. When we judge others, we are guilty of playing God. And God doesn't like that at all. That's a serious sin in God's eyes. We need to forgive because Jesus knows exactly how we are. Judge not that you are not judged. Next, I want us to consider our mandate to forgive. Our mandate. We have a mandate to forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, listen, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against the other, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do." That's our mandate to forgive. Now think for a moment. Think about how the Lord has forgiven you. He has forgiven us undeniably and unconditionally. Our sins, which are many, too many to number, they will never be held against us, and no one will even know what we ever did. That's the way that God forgives us. Psalms 103:12. The Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us." You can't get any further direction than that, further apart, as far as the east is from the west. And since this is true about my sins against God, then I should not hold others responsible for what they have done to me. I also cannot tell other people, not even my closest friends, what they did to me. Listen, if I tell someone, then I'm being malicious and selfish. My motive is simply to smear their name. I want them to look bad for what they did to me. I can't help but think of King David. When God was preparing him to be king, David was ready to take vengeance on a man named Nabal. But God sent Abigail with a message for David. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, skipping down to verse 32. David's response to that message from Abigail. "Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal.'" If your pain is too deep to contain, if it's so horrible that you have to tell another person, listen, tell only one, and make sure that they are a mature Christian that will not repeat it to anyone. I would highly recommend it be a spouse or your pastor or a very, very mature Christian in your church. Now, I want to take a moment to clarify something here. I want to clarify when there is a time to speak about the incident. Now, this deals with hurts such as rape or child abuse. These incidents should absolutely be reported to the authority. We can forgive and report a crime at the same time. Forgiveness does not mean that we can close our eyes to those who will continue to harm others. The rapist or the abuser needs to be taken off the streets so that they cannot continue to harm anyone else. For example, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we're told of a man that was committing incest. In chapter 5, the Apostle Paul ordered him to be put out of the church. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to keep the rest of the church from his corruption. He wanted to keep the rest of the church from harm. Now, there is a distinct line that I want you to see here between the desire to see a rapist or an abuser put in jail because they are a danger to society That is different from the desire to see them put in jail because they hurt us or they hurt a loved one. The victim of such abuse is stuck between a rock and a hard place. When we are personally offended or personally hurt, we are normally disqualified from being the one to remove the speck from another's eye. But the victim of a rape, for instance, must be a witness in the courtroom while at the same time still forgiving that offender. Certainly not an easy task. Next, I want us to consider what forgiveness is not. It's important in order to understand forgiveness to understand there are certain things that forgiveness is not. We have some misconception about forgiveness, and we need to get those out in the open so that we understand the things that forgiveness is not. First, forgiveness is not approval of what someone did. God never approves of our sins. He absolutely despises and hates sin. In the Garden of Eden, God became angry at the sin of Adam and Eve, but he still made clothes of animal skin and he covered them. This act of mercy showed that he had forgiven them. Those animal skins, they represented Jesus' sacrifice for us as he shed his blood to cover our sins. In John chapter 8, we read how Jesus forgave the woman who was found committing adultery. Now, one thing we need to be clear, he clearly did not approve of her sin. What did he tell her? He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He knew exactly what she had done, but he chose to forgive her. God does not approve of sin in Bible times, and he does not approve of sin today. Psalm 130, verse 4 says, "There is forgiveness with you, with the Lord, that you may be feared." We have to maintain a healthy respect and fear of God's justice and his forgiveness. So just as God forgives without approving of sin, we must understand that forgiving others does not imply that we have approved of what they did. It does not imply that we have approved of their sinful act. Secondly, complete forgiveness is not excusing what they did. It's not excusing what they did. We cannot justify our own sins, and we certainly do not cover for other sins. Circumstances and situations do not explain away someone's sinful or someone's bad behavior. Listen, we should absolutely try to understand, but never excusing those sinful actions or those sinful behaviors. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, real quick. Book of Numbers, chapter 14. As Moses led the Israelites through the desert toward the promised land, he was continually troubled by their constant complaining. So Moses, at his wit's end, he called out to the Lord for help. In verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," this was God's response to Moses' cry, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." God was saying, "Look, Moses, this is one sorry, miserable group of people that you're leading. I'll tell you what, I'll just wipe them out and I'll start all over with a new nation for you to lead." Without delay, without hesitation, Moses rejected God's offer and he made intercession for the people. Listen to what Moses said to the Lord. In verse 13, he said, "Then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your clouds stand above them. And you go before them in a pillar of a cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.' And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity, sins, and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty. That's the important part. He by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity, the sins of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. The thing that I want to bring out in this prayer is that Moses never excused their behavior. In verse 18, he made it very clear. He says, by no means God clears the guilty. Instead, Moses appealed to God's mercy. Verse 19, he said, Lord, pardon the sins of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy. What happened? Praise God, he forgave them. Next, complete forgiveness is also not justifying what they did. Now, this is a problem in our nation today, and it has crept into the church. To justify means to make something to be right, to make something just. And there is no way that evil, sin, can ever be justified. God will never call sin right. And we are not to do it either. When Moses prayed, he didn't even offer a hint of justification for what the people did. He simply called upon God to forgive their sins. And as we are required to forgive, we should never, ever try to make what is wrong look like it is right. We should never, ever try to make sin look acceptable. There is never justification for sin. There's only excuses. Fourthly, complete forgiveness is also not pardoning what they did. Pardon is a legal word. It's legally releasing an offender from the consequences of their actions. This is why we don't ask that God, that the guilty rapist or abuser be exempt or pardoned from punishment. They must face their consequences. They must pay their debt and be removed from society so that no one else gets hurt. Many people struggle with understanding the difference between forgiveness and no consequences. Forgiveness does not mean that there are no consequences to be paid for that sin, for those sinful actions, those hurtful actions. King David, for instance, David was forgiven for his sin of adultery and murder, but he suffered immensely. He suffered many consequences for those sins. I've given this analogy many times. It's just like if I decided one day to climb up to the very top of a 200-story building. Once I got to the top, I decided to jump off. Now, as I'm falling, once I drop 20 stories, I realize I just made the biggest mistake of my life. And out of the bottom of my heart, I sincerely pray and I ask God to forgive me from jumping off this building. As long as I am sincere and I mean what I'm praying about, and I'm sincere about asking God for forgiveness, God's going to forgive me. But once I go that additional 180 stories, guess what's going to happen? I'm still going to hit the ground. That's the consequences of my actions. Yes, God forgave me on the way down. However, I'm still going to suffer the consequences for that sinful decision I made. Our sinful actions will have consequences. Not only will we suffer those consequences, but also those closest to us. Forgiveness is not pardoning what someone has done to us.